Studio 360.
The New Zealand film director Taika Waititi is best known for his small and singular drama-comedy crossbreeds, like Eagle vs. Shark, about two very socially awkward misfits.
Do you want a kiss?
Yep.
On the lips, though?
Yep.
Okay.
And the Sundance hit from last year, Hunt for the Wilder People, about a very young juvenile delinquent and a backwoods curmudgeon.
Why would I need to read a map? I already told you I know where I am. Reading's stupid anyway.
So, what is his next film about? The Asgardian God of Thunder, naturally.
We need to stop her here and now.
To prevent Ragnarok, the end of everything.
Waititi is the director of Thor Ragnarok, which is the latest blockbuster in the Marvel superhero series. While it has all the obligatory computer-generated action scenes and movie stars and cosmic existential stakes, it is also a very smart, funny, character-based comedy. Taika Waititi is with me here now to talk about this new movie and the movies that inspired it. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Why did Marvel and Disney or whichever say, yeah, this is our guy. This guy's made these little movies in New Zealand.
That's a great question. I've been asking myself for that for a couple of years. I think what they wanted was a certain tone. They actually had watched What We Do in the Shadows, my mockumentary about vampires.
Stu took it pretty well. He's definitely my best mate. And I'm not going to eat him. Vampire mates don't eat human mates. And no matter how much I wanted to eat him, I would never eat him because he's my mate. Hey, Stu.
Yeah.
And then they watched Boy.
Which is your movie from 2007 about this 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You got a girlfriend?
There's this girl that really likes me a lot. But I don't know if I want to, you know, get involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't get her pregnant, that's all. It's the number one rule.
And it was actually Boy that made them think that, you know, I might be able to handle not only the comedy elements that they were looking for, but also the stuff that needed some weight to it.
And so they give you the gig, and then did you panic at all? You don't seem, at least sitting here today, like a very panic-prone person.
I had a little reticence because I thought, oh, well, yeah, is this, they've got a really successful track record of, you know, 15 or 16 successful films. Am I going to be the one to, you know, to ruin that record? Am I, you know, is this the one?
Yeah. This comedy superhero movie is practically a new genre. And you must have thought, and I wonder, because you're the first expert I've talked to about this, is why these comic book-based movies are now becoming comic.
Because the world is a very depressing place, and we need some true escapism. I think tonally, you know, we're kind of going through these phases, aren't
we? Right.
Men in Black. Now, we kind of feel like we can handle it. Yeah. Men in Black was amazing.
James Bond movies, which may have invented
Roger Moore.
Right?
All of Roger Moore's stuff is exactly, like, really funny.
He suggests the trade. The egg for your life.
Well, I'd heard the price of eggs was going up, but isn't that a little high?
And yeah, we'll go back to the kind of Dark Knight gritty sort of, you know.
Yeah. Now we're living the Dark Knight land. So
exactly.
We don't need Men in Black.
We don't need to be reminded of that when we go to the movies.
Yeah. The dialogue in this film feels, in addition to being actually funny, actually making me laugh out loud, which as my family, I seldom do, feels loose and naturalistic, and which led me to the question of how much of this is ad-libbed here and there on set.
Well, a lot of it is ad-libbed. We had a script written by Eric Pearson. What I tend to do with scripts, unless I've written them, is just take them as more of a suggestion of what to
so
do.
So you have contempt for writers unless you're the writer.
Exactly. So we'd get to set. Also, my problem with a lot of studio films, a lot of Hollywood films, is when you hear a joke in these films, they're like some sort of, you know, Woody one-liner, a little
bum,
quip.
Bum, bum,
a little
bum.
Quip. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know that they wrote that 7 or 8 months before they shot it, and it was all planned, and it's like, oh, can't wait to shoot this gag. And my style is to get to work and say, how can we take what's on the page and make it 20 times better based on what props we have here, who the actors are, because I didn't know that these actors were going to be cast when we were writing. And, you know, and just basically try and find – you're only on set – in that moment once, and you only have that one chance, that one day or that one moment to get the best material out of your actors and off the page. you can never just settle for the written word.
One of the best ad-libs happens when Thor is forced to engage in gladiatorial combat and he finds out that his opponent is the Hulk, his long-lost friend.
That was actually given to us, and it was offered up by a Make-A-Wish kid who'd come to visit set, and you know, a little ill kid who was hanging out on set, and in between takes, you know, Chris would go over and say hi to him and hang out. We were about to start a new take, and he said, "Hey, the Hulk's about to smash through this door. Why don't you say, yeah, we know each other. He's a friend from work."
I give you your incredible.
Yes! We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Turns out to be the best line in the movie.
It's a good line.
And it's on T-shirts
now. And this is
really
like everything. A little kid?
A little kid, yeah.
Any others, do you recall?
Well, most of my character's lines are ad-libbed.
And your character is this...
this rock monster.
Doofus rock monster called Korg.
Korg. Like the piano / synthesizer. Korg.
Here's a clip of Korg with Thor, played by Chris Hemsworth.
Well, I really wish I had my hammer.
Hammer?
Quite unique. It was made from this special metal from the heart of a dying star. And when I spun it really, really fast, it gave me the ability to fly.
You rode a hammer?
No, I didn't ride the hammer.
The hammer rode you on your back?
No. I used to spin it really fast, and it would pull me off the...
Oh, my God. The hammer pulled you off?
The ground. It would pull me off the ground, up into the air, and I would fly. And every time I threw it, it would always come back to me.
Sounds like you had a pretty special and intimate relationship with this hammer, and that losing it was almost comparable to losing a loved one.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Now, I that's one of the places I laughed out loud, because it went on and on and on. It wasn't propelling the plot.
No.
It was doing nothing but being funny.
That is most of my character's dialogue, is doing nothing. It's not propelling anything. I'd go so far as to say my character may even be the most pointless part of the film. But the most enjoyable, maybe. I think that's why this film is so different humor-wise.
Yeah.
You know, you have these conversations that go on, and you can tell they weren't planned because superheroes aren't supposed to talk like
this.
They're not supposed to have long conversations about feelings and emotions while sitting on the bed after an argument. I'm referring to Thor and Hulk in that little scene where you know, they're apologizing to each other.
We're the same, you and I. Just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
Well, kind of both like fire.
But Hulk like raging fire, Thor like smoldering fire.
That scene doesn't even need to be. I mean, it's like
no,
but it's actually it's texture and it's flavor and actually it endears you to the characters more.
Absolutely, you said that Thor Ragnarok is with Nolan I in space. With Nolan I is this great 1987 British film directed by Bruce Robinson. Explain for listeners what With Nolan I was about.
It's a film about two unemployed actors who are living in a decrepit, rundown flat in London, and it's set in the 60s. And they decide to get out of London and go to and go out to the country. And it's a brilliant piece of comedy that, for me, one of the ultimate buddy flicks, I guess, if you will.
And here's a clip from it with Richard E. Grant playing Withnall and his buddy, only referred to as I, played by Paul McGann.
We can't go on like this. I'm a trained actor reduced to the status of a bum. Have you been at the controls?
What are you talking about?
The thermostats. What have you done to them?
I haven't touched them.
Then why has my head gone numb? I must have some booze. I demand to have some booze.
So Whitnell, the Richard E. Grant character, is Hulk, I guess?
Yeah. Richard E. Grant's character is, you know, he has these swings. He is a kind of a kind of bipolar.
He would now be diagnosed.
Style. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's very much like Hulk or like Banner. You know, he's prone to these tantrums and these huge mood swings. And I guess Thor is I.
Yeah. Another one of your influences for Thor is Flash Gordon, which was a 1980 movie adaptation directed by Mike Hodges, which didn't take itself seriously at all and had a memorable soundtrack.
I grew up with that and I loved that. That was quite a funny, camp and colourful, over-the-top film. And I've always said that if Freddie Mercury were alive today, I would have asked Queen to do the soundtrack.
And Queen did the soundtrack.
They did.
Of Flash Gordon. Your movie, Thor, has very prominently one of the cheesiest Led Zeppelin songs used to great effect. It's Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin III, released before you were born.
They're all pretty cheesy, let's be honest.
Yes.
You can't say one. You can't say the cheesiest.
True. I guess that's
you
true.
You can't talk about Led Zeppelin without... Let me remind you, all of their songs are about The Hobbit and Vikings.
Yeah.
The lyrics of that song, you know, we come from the land of the ice and snow. It deserves to be in this movie.
That's true. Another film you say was an influence of yours is a movie I have not seen, 1973, The Holy Mountain, directed by Alejandro
Jodorowsky,
thank you, which is about a Christ-like figure seeking enlightenment.
Each stone has a soul formed by the work of millions of years. The tarot will teach you how to create a soul.
Visually, it's a stunning film.
And surreal.
Very surreal. It's, you know, I mean, I've never understood what went on in the film. He does these very interesting shots, which I've kind of, yeah, I think I've been inspired by for this film.
So in this film, Thor, your major villain, Grand Master, is beautifully played by Jeff Goldblum. I don't know if that was your casting or the studio's casting, but nicely done.
Yeah, he's doing a great Jeff Goldblum impersonation, isn't he?
Oh, listen to that. He's threatening me. Hey, Sparkles, here's the deal. If you want to get back to place, Asperg.
Asgard!
Any contender who defeats my champion, their freedom they shall win.
Fine, then point me in the direction of whoever's ass I have to kick.
Psycho contender.
Chris Hemsworth, who has already played Thor a few times, I really had no idea he could do comedy this well.
Yeah, well, you got to see Ghostbusters, the new one.
What's this place called again?
Conductors of the Metaphysical Examination.
Got it. Conductors of Metamucils and stuff. Let's slow down.
They hung up?
No, I was just not into that conversation.
He steals a lot of scenes and when he's not the main actor.
When I think of funny New Zealanders, or for that matter, any New Zealanders, I think of your friend Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords, and now you. And so now I feel like I know the difference between New Zealanders and Australians. You're these skinny guys with beards, and Chris Hemsworth.
Muscly.
Yeah, and those guys are just like super Southern Californians.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay, good. I'm glad I was.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to go. I know what's happening here. You want to set me off. You want to turn me into the Hulk. but Chris is legitimately funny.
Yeah. Well done. You made this old geezer like a superhero movie very much. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thor Ragnarok, directed by Taika Waititi, is now playing everywhere on Earth.